I want to draw your attention this morning to the Gospel according to John and the chapter 14 and the verse 2. I draw your attention to the opening words of verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I want to consider with you this picture of heaven. This picture of heaven. I said last week that there were three things that the Lord Jesus has laid on the table as he commences this opening discourse. And one of them was this announcement that he wasn't going to be with them for very much longer. I'm going away, he says. And Peter asks, where are you going and why can I not go with you? So they're going away, little children, I'm just a little while with you. I go. Where I go, ye cannot come now. And he's talking about going away. And now he says, don't be troubled at that. And then he says these words, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And what actually is taking place here now, between verses 2 through to verses 6, he's speaking about heaven, the place where he's going to. He's speaking about that. Now, the word itself doesn't occur, but we know very definitely that's what he's speaking about. He says there at the end of verse 12, I go unto my Father, my Father's house. Now, the Lord often spoke about heaven, and he didn't hesitate to give it the name heaven. In fact, most often he usually did use that word heaven. He said, I came down from heaven. He says that in this very gospel in chapter 6. I came down from heaven, he says. His Father, he often referred to his Father which is in heaven. Remember how he taught us to pray? When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. And he often said that. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's where he is. He's in heaven. And he said that time and time again. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And I'm going to my Father. But he doesn't use the word heaven in this discourse, in this opening chapter. He uses a better word, a homely word. He uses the word house and home. I'm going to my Father's home. He's talking about it, you see, with affection. He's talking about it with gladness. And that's why he uses this word, my Father's house, my Father's home. And that's the picture he's really giving us here of heaven this morning. It's a picture of the Father's house, the Father's house. He could have said in heaven, as I said, but this is how he wants to describe it. Because he's talking about it with affection. It's a home to him, you see. He didn't just leave heaven. He left his Father's house. He left his home. And now he's going back. And he's not just going back to heaven. He's going back to his Father's house. I'm going to my Father. He's not just going to heaven. I'm going to my Father. I'm going to my Father's house. So that's why he uses the word here. And heaven is often represented in Scripture as the house of God, the dwelling place of God. The psalm said so often, for example, Psalm 113, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, his home's on high, his dwelling place, his abode is on high. The psalmist said, unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest. He dwelleth in the heavens. It's his dwelling place. It's his house. It's his home. And so time and time again we read this. You know, here on earth, Christians are pilgrims. We're pilgrims. And pilgrims don't have houses. They have tents. They have tabernacles. And we're journeying. And we are a tabernacle, and we're journeying people, and our bodies are like tents. And you know who the greatest pilgrim of all is? Who we're following?
The greatest pilgrim is Jesus Christ. He was the greatest pilgrim of all. And here he didn't have any abiding place. He came to Bethlehem. He went down to Egypt, to Galilee, to Jerusalem. He had not where to lay his head. He didn't have an abiding place. It's coming to the end of his life. And now he's thinking about his home, his house, the permanent place, his abode. He's just been a pilgrim. You remember how the prodigal said, "I will arise and go to my father's house." Now the prodigal, we know why he was out in the far country. We know why he was far away from the father's house in his sin. But the Lord Jesus had to leave the father's house to find us. The Lord Jesus had to leave the father's house to go into the far country. He's not the prodigal son. We're the prodigal sons. He's the pilgrim son. He's the pilgrim son who went into the far country to find us. And he finds us. And now he says, "I'll arise. I'll arise from the dead. I'll arise and go to my father's house. And I'll bring all these pilgrims with me. To bring them with me to glory." And that's what the Lord Jesus is thinking about now. And that's why he uses the word house. I'm arising. I'm going to my father's house. My pilgrimage is at an end. I'll find the sheep that are lost. And I'm going to my father's house. He's a great pilgrim. And now he's going home from the far country. Brethren and sisters, you see, heaven is no tent. Heaven is a city, not made with hands. Stable, eternal, everlasting, fixed and abiding. Where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, he's actually in the upper part of the city of Jerusalem. It's a wealthy part. He's in an upper room. It's a well-to-do house. Now, I don't know how the Lord Jesus got this well-to-do house. He's not one who's usually in well-to-do houses. But he's got this well-to-do house for this last night with his disciples. He's not down in the lower part of the city among the hovels. He's up here. He's up here in the higher part. He's not far, in actual fact, from the priest's house, the priest's residence. He's up there, and he's thinking about the house above. The heavenly room, the heavenly house above. So these are some of the reasons why he uses the word house and not just heaven. He doesn't just say in heaven. In heaven. He says in my father's house. Didn't David speak of that house? Do you remember that well-known psalm? We love it so much. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I'm a pilgrim, you see. I'm traveling. I'm journeying every day. All the days of my life, I'm a pilgrim. I'm not alone. Surely goodness and mercy are pursuing me. They're following me all the days of my pilgrims. But I'm coming to the end of my pilgrimage one day. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It'll end. And that's how the psalm ends. And now our Lord Jesus Christ is fulfilling his pilgrimage. All the days are coming to an end. Goodness and mercy has pursued him. And now he's in his last day here with the disciples. And he's saying, "I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My father's house, I'm going there." I'm sure I think Psalm 23 must be in his mind even as he says these words this last night to his disciples. The house of the Lord. So it's pictured as the house of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says here that it has many mansions. Now, another thing that pictures heaven is the temple on Mount Moriah. Now, not the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a tent. But the temple was a more permanent structure. It was a house. So we're not speaking of the tent in the wilderness, but we're speaking of Solomon's temple on Mount Moriah, the glorious temple. The glorious temple that all the Jewish pilgrims went up to every year, to make their journey there every year. And where the Lord Jesus had often been. In fact, this whole week before this upper room discourse, every day he'd been up in the temple, the whole past week. And the temple is rich and glorious, and it's large and it's wide, and it's the dwelling place of the Most High God. But it doesn't have one room. It has far more than one room. Yes, there's a throne room where God is in the midst of it all. But then there's another room outside it called the Holy Place. And the priests can go in there. And there's chambers all over the place. There's chambers everywhere. In fact, there was an old saint lived on the temple. She was called Anna. She served God night and day. She never left the temple. She lived there. Because there are rooms everywhere. It's full of chambers. Chambers for this and chambers for that. Chambers for the priest to abide in. A chamber for the high priest to change in and all of that. It's a massive place. The Lord called that temple my Father's house. At the start of the book of Gospel. That's the only other place where he uses this expression. He says, this is my Father's house. And you're in here making money. And all this merchandise here. And all the Gentiles are coming. And what are they saying? All they're saying is trading and making money. That's not what my Father's house is about. You've made my Father's house a den of thieves. This is my Father's house. You've made it a den of thieves. And he's speaking of the temple. But now he's going to the reality. And he says, in my Father's house, there are many chambers. Just like the temple on the mount. There are many rooms. Many mansions. So the temple wasn't just one room. There were many rooms. Do you remember how Jesus started his earthly pilgrimage? He came to this world. He came to this world. What kind of a welcome did he get? Do you remember how he started his journey? And he came to Bethlehem. Do you remember how he was born in Bethlehem? And what does the Bible say? There was no room. There was no room for him. He left the rooms above. He came from the Father's house. And he came down to here, and there was no room. There were no rooms for him. No room for Jesus. But he tells us, I'm going to a place. And he tells the earthlings. He tells the people who said to him, there's no room here for you. He tells them, there's many rooms. There's many rooms in heaven. Oh, there was no room here for me. But I tell you this, there's rooms for you. There was no room for me on earth. But there's rooms for you in heaven. There are rooms for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. And he uses the word many. Because there's a whole host of them. Now the word mansion. This word that our translators have used, mansion. The word actually means an abode. A dwelling place. A place of residence. A place to stay. It actually occurs later on in the chapter, in verse 23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, that's Judas, not Iscariot, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. We'll make our mansion with him. We'll make our dwelling place with him. We'll make our abiding place. We'll make our room with him. And so it's the very same word here. So there are all these abiding places, many of them, these mansions in heaven. Now, whenever we use the word mansion, now I know that the modern translators, they don't like that word mansion. They don't use it. They stick in the word rooms. Now, why did our translators use the word mansion? Because they knew the Father's house was the house of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the rooms in that house aren't going to be like any room on the earth below. And so our translators said, we just can't have heaven pictured like an ordinary room. We have to use that word mansion. And we think a mansion's a big house, but an old use of the word mansion is it also can refer to apartments in a large house. And an old use of the word. So it is a good word. It's not an ordinary place. It's grand. It's glorious.
Why are we embarrassed by the word mansion? It expresses very ably and very well all that the Lord has prepared for His people. And so we don't have any problem with the word mansion. It is a mansion. The apartments, the abiding places must be mansions for the saints of God. And so I think they're right to use that word, and we're happy to keep that word. But whatever dwelling place God has for us, it will be as glorious as a mansion on earth, and far more glorious than the best room in any earthly holy place. Now, we're not to think about it materialistically. We're not to think of it in terms of carpets and wallpaper on the wall. No, that's not the essence of the glory of heaven. Far more than that. We don't really know all the glory of it. What does the Bible say? Eye have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But the thing about it is, it's glorious. Do you remember Eliezer, Abraham's servant? Whenever he met Rebekah, do you remember how he said to Rebekah, he said, "Tell me, I pray thee, is there any room in thy father's house? Is there any room in thy father's house?" The servant of Abraham asked. And that's a good question. Is there any room? Any room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And it's as if the Lord Jesus has heard that question from His disciples. None of them have asked it, but He knows they will ask it. He knows when He goes. That's just one of the things they'll want to know. I'm going to my father's house. It hasn't sunk in yet. But whenever it sinks in, one of the questions I'll ask is, will there be room for us? Will there be room for us to lodge in? Will they go with you? Will there be space for us? It's as if the Lord has heard that question. Is there room for us to lodge in? And Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Many rooms. Many mansions. Do you know what Rebekah said to that question? She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel. I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said to him, we have straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. I'm the daughter of Bethuel. We have room. Yes, we have room. I'm the daughter of Bethuel, you see. We have room. I'm of store. I'm of provision. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to my Father's house. He's my Father. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of the Father in glory. There's room, and there's provision, and there's riches, and there's store. Have room. There are rooms. There's room for you. And the wonderful word here is the word many. Many. Because you see, heaven's a growing place. And heaven has many occupants. It was built before time. But God knows who's all going to be in it. And He has all of these rooms. It's growing. And there's plenty of space for the growing population of glory. And it hasn't stopped growing. And it's continuing to grow. And there are plenty of rooms. There are plenty of mansions. There's plenty of space. There'll never be any shortage of room. And there's room for you, sinner. Because Jesus said, there are many rooms. There's room for you. The word many is used in verse 30 in the same chapter. He says, hereafter I will not talk much. And that word much is the same word many. I don't have many words with you. I don't have many words. This is my last night. I don't have many words more to say to you. Not many words. But I tell you this, there's many rooms. There's many rooms. All you disciples, and all you sinners who will hear this discourse as is written by John, my apostle, I don't have many more words. There's not many more words to come in the Gospel of John. But I want to tell you this. There are many rooms. There's room for you. There's space for you, sinner.
There's room. That's what Jesus says.
And that's why Jesus can say, don't let your heart be troubled. Because where I'm going, that's where you're going later. So you disciples, don't fear. Don't fear death. Don't be afraid of all the troubles and the tribulations you're going to have in this world. Don't be discouraged. There are these rooms for you. I want to say to you, sinner, this morning, there's room for you. You remember how the Lord of the house said in Luke chapter 14, he said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet there's room. There's room yet. We've gone out as you've said, Lord. We've gone and got the poor and the maimed. Because that's who Jesus aims at. Not the rich and the wealthy and the proud and the self-righteous. But the poor and the fallen and the despairing. He goes out, he sends them out. And they bring them in, and still the message is, there's room, there's yet room, there's yet room. And the Lord said, go into the highways then, go into the hedges, get off the beaten track, and go into the hedges, and find the down and outs, and compel them to come in, that my house, the Father's house, he wants his house filled, that my house may be filled. And that's why Jesus has left us here on the earth. That's why he hasn't taken us to heaven as soon as we got saved. Because we have to be in the business of getting the house filled so that there's not one empty room of that eternal abode that he built in his eternal counsel. Every room will be filled. There's room today for you, sinner. There's room. And so I want you to consider that if you die, do you have a mansion in the house of God in heaven? You have to abide somewhere. When you die, you're going to abide somewhere. When you die, you're going to go to some place. When you die, you're going to go to some room. Why would it not be a mansion? Why would it not be the Father's house? Why would you make your habitation with the devils? There's another place. And the company there is fiendish and wicked. And the people there become more vile and more wicked still. And more ungodly and more unclean still. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of abomination and wickedness. It's a place where the grace of God, not even common grace, is experienced. It's a place of torment. Oh, why would you go there? Why would you have your dwelling with the devils? When Jesus said, in my Father's house there's many rooms. Oh, how can we get there? How can we find the place? How can we know we're going there? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you have me, you have the way. If you know me, if you love me, and you follow me, and I'm your Savior and your Lord, you're on your way. You have the room. And I want to think about one of these mansions. One of these dwelling places as I have time. And I want to spend the rest of the message thinking about a mansion. Because some of us have loved ones have gone before. And we want to know what it's like for them. What's their mansion like?
How does it feel for them? And what are we going to who know the Lord? And I think if it's all through the teaching of Scripture, we can come up with an honest and a very truthful picture of what a mansion is, although it's a very limited picture, because eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. But I want to give the mansion names. We give names to rooms that describe the essence of a room. We call one room a bedroom because there we sleep and rest. And then we have another room, we call it a kitchen, because in there we prepare the meal. And we have another room, it's called the dining room. Why is it called the dining room? Because we eat there and we feed there. Then we have a lounge, our living room. That's precious, isn't it? Because there we meet with the family and we have fellowship. It's a living room. It's a lounge. It's a wonderful place. So we have all these names that sort of describe the essence of what the room is. And I think there are many names in the Bible. And we can put that outside the door of each mansion. And that name describes the essence of the room, of the mansion. And I could go through the Bible and I could pick out many words. And we could put them all on the door of the mansion. But I only want to give you three, if I have time. Three. And they're found in Genesis, the book of Genesis. And the first one we meet very early in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 2. On the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. Oh, this is the end of the work. Whenever you go to heaven, it's the end of the work. This is something like heaven here. Work over. Work done. When he had ended his work which he had made, and it says, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he'd made. The work's over. And he rested. And that word rested is Shabbat. Our Sabbath, from which we get the noun Sabbath, the Sabbath day. He rested. He had a Sabbath. And that's one of the names you can put on mansion in glory. It's called Sabbath. It's a place of rest. The work is over. The work on earth is done. The labor's finished. There's no more tears, there's no more sweat, there's no more toil. The Sabbath is a picture of heaven. It's the Christian's mansion. Heaven is rest. The mansion is rest. And so the Sabbath, men and women, is a weekly picture of what the Lord is going to bring his people into. The night is coming when the work is ended. The night is coming when it's all finished, when we can work no more, and when it's done, and the labor is finished, and we enter into our Shabbat, our mansion. The apostle expounded it in Hebrews chapter 4. He said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's the name of this mansion. The thousands of mansions, every one of them are called Sabbath. And every Sabbath that we have in this house is a foretaste of that. Oh, how blessed are we to have a Lord's Day. How blessed are we to have a Lord's Day. And the chores and the duties, we can put them by. And the toil that is wearisome all week, we can kind of forget it today and just be devoted to God. Our mansion is like that. A perpetual house of God. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, John said, right? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And we often talk about them entering into their rest, their Sabbath, their mansion. Then another name
that I would cause you to think about is found in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Melchizedek, the high priest, was king of a place called Salem. Now, Salem is Jerusalem. And Melchizedek is the king of Salem in the ancient times. And Jerusalem, we know, is a picture of heaven. The heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Salem. We know that Salem means peace because the apostles interprets it king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ is high priest. He's Melchizedek. He's king of righteousness. But he is also king of peace. He's king of Salem. King of glory, king of kings and lord of lords. And he is king of peace. And the peace that Jesus Christ gives is perfect peace. It is shalom in all its fullness. And that's what each of these mansions are. Shalom. Shalom. Peace. Perfect peace. Oh, the stillness and peace of glory. No accusing conscience. Peace. No tormenting Satan and accuser of the brethren. Peace. No persecuting world. Peace. Peace and perfect peace. My peace I give unto you. Oh, what the world seeks but never finds. What it forms councils together to try to obtain but never does. Jesus Christ will give it to us. Peace. Peace. Perfect peace. In our mansion. In the world we have tribulation, he tells us. That's ongoing. That's constant. I can promise you nothing else, but you're going to a mansion that is peace. Remember how just a few days before this discourse in the upper room, whenever the Lord Jesus was making his descent from the Mount of Olives down to Jerusalem, the whole multitude of the disciples, we read, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice, and they said, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then they said something that we hardly even notice and we never think about. They said, "Peace in heaven." They didn't say peace in earth. No peace in earth. The King's coming. He's going down to Jerusalem. Is there going to be peace in earth? Is there going to be something different? No, the King's coming. But where's the peace? The peace is in heaven. Peace in heaven. And that's the name of the mansion. Peace. Perfect peace. And then there's one more very quickly. Genesis chapter 26, verse 17. Isaac departed. Here's a pilgrim, Isaac. He departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water. Oh, the water. The water for life. And when they digged in the days of Abraham, his father's, for the Philistines had stopped them, for these were the wells are reopening again. The Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And then Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water's ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. So here's a well. And they have to give it a name which means strife or contention. Contention. And he digs another well, because this is what life is like as a pilgrim. One place to another place. Nothing satisfies. They dig another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And that means strife too. That's another word for strife and contention. So there's two Hebrew words here for strife and tribulation and contention in the world. In the world you'll have tribulation. In your pilgrimage you'll have contention. You'll have strife. That's all you'll have. But then we read in verse 22, he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. Rehoboth. For now the Lord hath made room for us. He's made room for us. And he called it Rehoboth because Rehoboth means wide spaces, wide place, plenty of space, no strife, no contention. There's plenty of space. And it's called Rehoboth. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There's space. There are rooms. There's plenty of room. And he called it Rehoboth. The Lord has made a room for me. The Lord has made a room for me. Rehoboth. And when you get to heaven, that's what you can say. Rehoboth. The Lord's made a room for me. He's made a room for me. You know, you're shut up, you know, in this world. People shut you up. People have to tread on you. The world has to persecute you. And the devil hems you in. We're hemmed in. And we're limited. We have poor memories. And we're hemmed in. And we have little understanding. We don't have a spacious understanding of things. We're hemmed in. And the devil hems us in. And the world hems us in. And our limited fallen depravity of our humanity hems us in. We're hemmed in. We're in bondage. We have no true freedom. We're shut up. We're shut up in the hand of the enemy. We're shut up in a fallen body. And we don't have any space to serve Jesus the way we'd like. We don't have the freedom to serve him the way we want. There's all this strife and contention and warfare, and we just don't have the space. We just don't have the room. But one day we will. He'll bring us to a room, and we'll have the space, and we won't be hemmed in, and we won't be limited, because he's brought us into a large place. Didn't the psalmist say that? He says, I have set my feet in a large room. I tell you, the words will never be so true as to when he gets to heaven and says, you've put my feet in a large room, Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yes, I'll see it, Lord. You've put my feet in a large room. Now I can serve you all I want. Now I'm not hemmed in. Now the world won't persecute me. Now the world and the devil won't restrain me. Now my sinful heart won't hold me back. I've space now. The Lord's made room for me. Rehoboth. He set me in a large place. He brought me forth, the psalmist said, into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And there we are in heaven. And as Isaiah 4 verse 16 says, now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Do you believe in heaven? Are you ready for heaven? Do you think about heaven? Do you ever think about it? You know, we're getting older and we're going to die soon. We should be thinking about it. We should be meditating upon it. We should even be looking forward to it. It should become exciting. Doesn't it become more exciting? Aren't you glad you're not going to live forever? Aren't you glad you're going to die someday? Aren't you glad you're going to leave this place? Isn't it exciting? I think it gets more exciting as you get older. Do you find comfort in it? And does thinking upon it help your troubled hearts? Rooms. Rooms. So, people of God, it's all going to end soon. Just be patient. Just labor on in hope. Awaiting. There's laid up for you an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, laid up in heaven for you. You'll have it soon enough. The night's not here yet. So just labor on.
until it comes.